Now we're giving back. Remember that. Bad. If you got pride, raise your visa pie. Wave them wide, side to side. Feel the vibe. It's good to be bad.
Hello and welcome to Sister Act. This is a podcast where two sisters talk about movie musicals. I am one of those sisters. My name is Jackie.
I'm the other one. My name is Nicola.
We haven't done this in a while, but we're doing it again because Nicola is now in a different country, and so it's a good excuse to talk to each other. And today we're talking about a movie that I certainly would not have watched without this podcast, which is Descendants 3. If you're a long-time listener, because you must be, because we haven't made an episode in a really long time, you will know that I hated the first two Descendants movies, and I did not like the third. In fact, it might be the worst of them.
It definitely is the worst of them. I would say that the first one was actually pretty good. And the second one was, like, very mediocre. And this one was straight up bad.
And I would say they were all so bad, I can barely rank them amongst themselves. But this was probably the worst.
I realize maybe the second one was more than mediocre in a bad way, because the beginning of this movie, I was like, oh my god, I don't really remember anything that happened.
Yeah, we haven't watched these in so long. There were little moments where I was like, oh, is that a callback? I think, like, it's scratching some sort of muscle or memory that I vaguely have, but I don't really remember what it's calling back to. But we haven't done this in so long. The way we approach this is we just recap it, right? So we should look at the track list and go.
Yes.
Oh, this also had, I think, the worst music. Because Good to Be Bad. All of these songs are, first of all, just not the right, like, not once does the music nail the tone of the story beat trying to convey.
Never.
But they're also, like, all overproduced hip-hop tracks with these, like, mostly white musical theater kids. I guess that's not true. They're not mostly white. But still, it just has, like, a very, like, musical theater. It's got, like, a Hamilton, but way worse. I can't even, like, put my finger on what's so bad about it. It's just way overproduced.
Yeah.
Their vocals are way overproduced. And there's it's overproduced rapping. So there's, like, auto-tune on these kids being, like, bad. We are bad. We are. We're really bad today. We are. And it's, like, why is there any auto-tune on this? Just let me hear them speak.
It's really terrible. Especially, like, I am a fan of Dove Cameron, and that song that she, like, her 11th hour number, I was like, this doesn't even sound like Dove Cameron. This sounds like Dove Cameron when she was, like, a baby and she's an adult. Why did they make her sound like this? But
yeah, it's really frustrating.
But yeah, the first song
also,
okay,
it's also just a reminder to me of why I hate this franchise, because it's the premise is that the four kids the premise of this universe, if you're new to the Descendants world, is that all of the Disney villains have been banished to this island with a big magical barrier where you can't do, no evil magic can come out. Or no evil magic can work inside the bounds of it. So they're, like, neutralized. It's like a prison. But all their kids, like, they kept having kids in prison. And now all their children who live on this island just live on Prison Island. And so one by one, they're being allowed to reintegrate with the society. These children who have committed no crime but grew up in prison. It's very controversial and slow moving to start releasing them one at a time from prison. And the people in Prison Island are all, like, we can't wait to leave. Like, it's not like the dynamic is not like this is our home and we love it.
The opening of this movie, now that they know from the other four, I guess, what life in Auradon is like, they're all like, oh, we're in prison. Get us out of here.
And even their parents are like, get our kids out of prison.
Well, that's the thing that I kind of did appreciate about this movie. Like, you know, the original four, their relationship with their parents is, like, neutral at best. And they never talk about, like, missing their mom or whatever. But then they choose these new kids, and one of them is Dr. Facilier's daughter. And she's like, I love my dad. Like, if I can't go back to see my dad, like, I can't do this. I appreciated the representation of evil people being loving parents.
Yeah, even more so than that for me. So this opening number is just, like, all the kids are singing about how they're so excited about the fact that four of them will get to leave prison. And they're just, they're so happy for whoever gets to leave prison because it's just such a great, no one's even sad that it's not them. They're just like, yes, four of us get to leave prison. And the four kids who are chosen are Dr. Facilier's daughter, Drizzy, or whatever her name is, the girl from who's Drizella's daughter, who was in the second one. She's like the fashion friend of Sophia Carson. And then Shmi has two twin sons who are like nonverbal, and he is like a caring father who's like, oh yay, good, go, my two young baby nonverbal sons. So excited for you to get out. And he's like present for this song. He doesn't say any words and we never see him again, but it's just like a weird detail that they've chosen two literal children and their father.
I know,
who seems
because the whole
very
point
loving
is that
like, it's better for you to leave.
It's like it's supposed to be like an exchange school program, but these kids are like 8. So I don't know.
Yeah. It just establishes all the, like, the completely dystopian, horrible situation that exists here and how no one really thinks it's weird. Like, everyone's just celebrating the four kids who grew up in prison and now are ambassadors to out-of-prison life are like, we're going to be back all the time and we love this program and we can't wait to eventually get you all out of prison, but slow and steady wins the race. And everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why it had to be four. Like, okay, we saw that four worked. Let's get like at least 8 to 10 in this next bunch.
Like, it's also funny because the number seems to like imply like everyone's submitting their applications and excited for it, but it's a manageable number of people. Like, it could just be everyone.
Yeah.
The dancing in this number was good, I thought. This was like the best choreographed number, in my opinion.
I also liked the last number. Any big group number is well choreographed.
Yeah, I liked that.
Not including the whatever that song was, where they're freaking making those knights dance.
The sword fighting song. Yeah, so, anyway, that's the opening number. Then we go to Oridon, which is the name of the non-prison place where everyone normal lives. And there's some sort of event, like the logistics of what are happening here is very confusing because Dove Cameron is in Prison Island announcing the four kids who will get to leave prison, and then Dove Cameron is at this
at the end of the song, all right guys, congrats, go pack up your things and we'll see you next week to bring you back.
Okay, so they announce the kids and they're like, we'll come get you in a week. And then it must be a week later. And it's the day that we're going to go get the kids. But before we go get the kids, there's like a little press conference to celebrate the fact that these kids exist. But also, Ben proposes to Dove Cameron.
Whose name is Mal.
Thank you.
And
she says yes.
Yes, she does say yes. And then, what's her name?
Sophia Carson.
Sleeping Beauty's daughter.
Oh, Audrey.
Audrey is like, no, this should have been me. Her grandma is like, you suck. Like, your mom could keep a prince and you can't, whatever. She's like, oh, this should have been my story or whatever. She's like really mad because she dated Ben in the first movie and then Mal stole him from her.
And she says something sort of catty to Mal where she's like, because Mal like tried to kill everyone, but then was like neutralized and saw the light in the first movie. So she kind of alludes to that. She's like, oh yeah, you won him fair and square. Just kidding. You almost killed everyone. Anyway, good luck with your little project. And Mal's like, well, I got to go get those kids. And Sophia Carson knew that this was happening. Everyone was all of the little villain kids who are called VKs were in on the proposal and they sang a little callback song.
Yeah.
So they get in the car. They're driving across the bridge. They go through the portal. They get the kids. Shmi is like, I'll never see you again, my children, but I'm so excited for you to not be in prison. Daddy loves you.
Before they go back, she has a conversation with the rest of the family, no? Or is that after?
What do you think that conversation about
closing the barrier?
No, that's
I guess
after.
That's after.
Because
yeah.
what? Because then
yeah, they so go, they're leaving.
They get the kids. Yeah.
And then the barrier is closing and Hades, played by Cheyenne Jackson, punches through as the hole is closing and he's like, I'm a god! I don't deserve to be in this prison. And he's like breaking through the barrier and they're like, oh no, stop the car. Mal turns into a dragon. And then he like zaps her with this thing that's like taking her powers away. I don't even know how
his ember.
How did she just get rid of him?
She just musters a big fireball and blows at him and the portal, everyone, he does like three backwards rolls and he's like, whoa. He just keeps rolling and rolling and the portal closes and everyone's like, are you okay? And she's like, no, that really hurt.
And she's like,
and they're like, well, it's okay, it's over now, so it doesn't even matter that you're not okay. And then they get back in the car.
Yeah. And then when they get back, she's having a conversation with Ben and his parents and they're all like, Mal, what should we do? I'm like, why are you asking her? She's just the girlfriend of your son. Like, the whole thing is so weird.
I forgot to mention this, but it was making me feel crazy when they were doing the proposal thing. The aesthetics of this movie are like, what if royalty was in high school? But now that they're like getting married and like enacting policy beyond the school, like, because initially Ben was like, had a big policy, but it was almost like he was school president. Like, he was like, we should have an exchange program. Mm-hmm. Now they're talking about like border control. It's just like, why are there cheerleaders everywhere? Why is the fairy godmother like a principal? It's just, the aesthetics are so weird.
It is bizarre. But so then Mal is like, well, I think that we have to close the barrier forever. Like, no more going in and out. This is it.
And Ben is like, I don't like this idea.
Yeah.
But Ben has always been the only person who... Ben has always, like, been bold and progressive in his vision of getting rid of that border. Like, he would love to just tear it down altogether. And his parents have been, like, anti-doing that. And they've been the people who have been advocating for, like, incrementalism. Whenever something good happens, they're like, okay, fine, we can take one more step. And now Mal is on their side. So Ben is just completely stifled. And he's like, well, I guess the border's closed forever. That sucks. All my work.
And
but he's not that upset.
We go back to Audrey. And she's...
No, first I think we see Mal and Sophia Carson. And Mal is like... And Evie is Sophia Carson's name. And Mal is like... We're thinking about closing the border forever. And Evie's like, wow, well, good thing you're in the room and you'll advocate for the VKs, because that would be really bad for our people in our hometown and our community. And Mal's like, yeah, ha 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 ha, good thing I'm in the room. I'll definitely bring that up. And then we get Audrey's writing her in her diary.
Yeah. So... She just sings this terrible, terrible song called Queen of Mean, where she's like, I was supposed to be queen, but if I can't be queen, then I'm just going to be the most evil person in the world.
And the problem with this song is not even that it's bad, although it is certainly a song that starts as an auto-tuned rap, and you're like, it looks like she's just talking, and you're like, why are her lips like not lining up with her words? And then you're like, oh, because this is a song and there's a bunch of auto-tune for some reason on her speech, and then she starts singing. But the vibe of the song is like sad girl rejected, processing her rejection, but the lyrics are like, I'm going to become the most evil person in the world and here is my scheme. They're like angry plotting lyrics, but it's not what the song sounds like. So it's very confused. Like, if you're just listening to the vibes of the song, you're like, oh, this girl's sad. And then on screen, she starts like breaking into the museum and stealing the scepter and the crown and transforming herself into an evil person and casting an evil spell. And it's just like so not supported by the music. It's like totally random. And the staging is terrible. But it's also like she's kind of dancing to this like expressive sad song, but with these evil props. And it's like, obviously, Kenny Ortega flopped here, but I don't even know how you could navigate this because the story point you have to convey is so different from the music. Like, some element has to be weird.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't fully know the ins and outs of, like, I mean, I'm sure that he had say in more than just the choreography.
Oh, for sure. Like, but, the whole but movie I'm is like, so bad, and I blame like, him. But I just, the choreography was really bad, but I was like, songs, I don't even know.
I'm, like, impressed that he was able to do any good choreography, because no song matches the, like, tone of any scene. Except, I guess, the end. But, yeah.
This was just the worst to me, because she's doing, like, a lyrical ballet. Like, a solo lyrical ballet piece while also, like, holding this wicked, like, while casting an evil spell and transforming herself into, like, the evil version of herself. It's just, like, yeah. So...
It's terrible. Yeah. And the like, sense of place that you get is really bizarre as well. It's, like, I don't know. I guess I don't remember what the museum looked like from the first movie, but it looks like she's nowhere. And she just like yeah. walked out of her room into the museum. I don't know.
And there was like a whole heist set piece in the because in the first yeah, one, it wasn't that send them easy to get stuff from the museum. She just waltzes in.
But so then they're like, oh no, someone stole the scepter and the crown, and they think it's Uma, who is China Anne McClain, but it's not. It's Audrey.
Yes, and.
She goes
Mal
to...
has been worried about Uma.
Yeah.
Then... Oh, this is actually... We were wrong about... This is when that conversation happens. Because they're afraid yeah. that Uma is on the loose. And so that's why they're like, that's we gotta close the border. Because yeah. They're like first, Uma stealing stuff is gonna empower all the villains.
Now Uma, and then Hades. She's like, okay, we gotta close it.
So, yeah. So that is why... That's what the closing of the border is in direct response to, which also just means that like once it's clear that it's not Uma, that whole conversation, like everything they said about closing the border needs to be reevaluated because it was based on an incorrect yeah. assumption about who had broken in.
But instead, Audrey reveals herself to Mal to be the one who... whatever yeah. stole the
basically
crown and
immediately
scepter.
After Mal is like we're gonna close the border and tell Sophia Carson and is lying and feels guilty, then she like all of her preconceptions are shattered because Audrey's like I'm the evil person
and
now
she
like, can't even believe
him
it
into an old hag which lasts about 2 minutes tops.
That made me so mad. I liked that because the press she was like let's see if Ben likes you now and Dove Cameron
Ben never
even like,
sees her.
Yeah, and she's like, I can't let Ben see me like this. And then on the island, the spell doesn't work when they go to the evil island. And it's like, yeah, evil magic doesn't work here. So I was like, oh, obviously when they leave, she'll
yeah,
be a hag again.
She
so like, Ben's going to come
back
to the
into
island.
A hag when she got back to Auradon. I think they just forgot that they ever did that to begin
with. Well,
no,
she like breaks the spell, is what Audrey says. She's like, how did she break my spell? But it's just like, that was, like, an interesting bit of conflict that just got complete, like, was not taken advantage of at all, and they just moved on to something else.
Because, like, a million things happened in this movie, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But so then, instead of being like, oh, like, this has made me reevaluate my whole stance on closing the border, she's just like, oh, I have to go get the ember from Hades because that will stop whatever magic Audrey does with the scepter. So they yeah. all they go with Dr. Facilier's daughter because she can like sneak into Hades's lair or whatever, and they
yeah,
go
she's
back.
One of his errand boys or runners
and while they're gone it's Jane's birthday party, and Jane is the fairy godmother's daughter and Carlos's girlfriend, and he skips out on her birthday. And Audrey's like, haha, your boyfriend forgot about your birthday. And then she sings Happy Birthday in, like, it's like a Marilyn Monroe, like, sexy happy birthday, but she's casting a spell to put everyone in the, like, whole kingdom to sleep.
Except for Chad, who is Cinderella's son, who is like, oh, I'll join. So yeah. He joins as a sidekick. But then
and Jane,
he very quickly will change his mind.
Yeah. Jane, this birthday party is happening at the Enchanted Lake. So she jumps into the water and goes underwater while the spell is going past her. So it doesn't affect her because, I don't know, the Enchanted Lake can break spells or whatever.
But only a little bit, we learn later.
Yeah. So
on the island, they get to Hades. Dove Cameron reveals that Hades is her dad. And then she and Cheyenne Jackson sing one of the only good songs in this. And it's not even that good.
It's like a funny song, but it was also extremely jarring. Like, they're having this conversation about, like, you left me when I was a baby and, like, you owed me this and whatever. And then he's just like, 5, 6, 7, 8. I did what I had to do. So, yeah. It's basically, she's like, it ends up with her being like, if you want to make up for being a bad dad, give me the ember. And he's like, well, it won't work. It only works for me. And she's like, well, I'm half you. And then he's like, fine, don't get it wet or it's whatever. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So then they leave.
Which, a complicated set of rules around this magical item with unclear powers, because it can do a lot of stuff, but it's not always doing stuff. And she can't do everything he can do with it because she's only half Hades. And the rule about it getting wet is just, like, an inconvenience. It is not.
Like, and the way he said immediately... the way he said it made me think it was, like, a joke. But then they walk out and they... Uma comes and steals it.
She drops it in the ocean.
Yeah, and Mal's, like, freaking out. I was like, I didn't even think that was serious. And she's fully underwater and it's fine. But then later, it gets dropped in a little puddle and it's kaput. I don't know.
I think Uma was keeping it dry in her wet tentacles. That was what the logic there. But so they leave the prison island, and Hook, who's extremely, like, Scottish, and some other guy, I don't even know, who's he?
I don't know. I was hoping you would know who he's... related to, but he's just another pirate boy, I guess.
My guess is the bad guy from Tarzan.
From what?
Tarzan.
Oh. He made a joke about his dad having a really bad pain tolerance or something. I was like, I don't know who that's about.
I thought also maybe it was the crocodile, but that doesn't make sense.
That he's the son of the crocodile, a full human.
The introduction of the fact that Hades is Mal's dad is also interesting to me, because I have always been like, it's so funny that these people are like one-to-one clones of a single parent. Like, yeah. no one is like the product of two people. But now we learn that they are actually all like having sex with each other and having kids, but they just then they everyone just abandons picked. Their child.
Yeah. But yeah, so Hook and that other guy steal the bikes, and then they can't leave, and then Uma shows up, and they're like, Uma! She's like, what's my name? And then she's like, well, hey, give me that back, because I need to go save the people of Auradon with it. And she's like, only if you promise to let everyone out of the Isle of the Lost. And she's like, no. And then she's gonna like drop into the ocean, and she's like, okay, fine, deal. And then Uma's like, well, I'm just gonna keep it for now anyway. So now they have to work together, and they're both like, ugh, I hate you. But Evie's like, let's just be friends and like celebrate our differences. And everyone's like, you're dumb. But China Ann McClain slays in this role. I love her.
I don't think anyone can do a good job with this material, but she's certainly not doing a bad job.
She makes me laugh when she delivers her lines, and not in a bad way.
Okay, that's nice. So they go to the school, yeah. Everyone's asleep. They're like, oh, what the heck happened here? And Audrey goes to the castle where Ben is like trying to protect people, and he's like, give the people who aren't asleep gas masks. But then Audrey comes and does a spell, and she's like, sleep's too good for you. And we're like, what'd she do? And then
I thought the she kids killed are walking him, through the school. But turns out he's just she a werewolf. Also,
she says, sleep's not good for you. Sleep's not good for any of you. And then she randomly turns some people to stone. But not everyone who was awake, just like, because Jane's still fine, but like the fairy godmother turns to stone. And you're like, oh, did Ben turn to stone? But then they're walking through the halls, the gang of VKs that are trying to save the day. And there's like scratch marks on the wall. And they're like, was that there before? And you're like, oh, she turned Ben into the beast. But before we can deal with that, we have to watch a whole musical number. Because Audrey has like a magic mirror. There's like a magic mirror situation with the top of the scepter, which is like glowing, but then it can also be a camera. And she's also watching them like, look.
I can't help but imagine what it was like for this actress to shoot this movie, because so many of her scenes are just her looking into this scepter at like a horrible angle and screaming. Yeah. I was like, this seems like not fun. But maybe it seems incredibly fun. I don't know.
Hopping back very quickly to the scene with Hades and Mal, that was the worst shot scene in this whole thing. I mean, obviously, all of those scenes, you're like, that sucks. But for some reason, it's just so unclear how a like, Dove Cameron is shouting and looking up at this crazy angle. Like Hades is, like, 6 feet in the air. And then, whenever there's a two shot of them, they're just, like, 3 feet apart at the same level. It's like, what happened here? But anyway.
But so
sword fighting song.
She sees that they're like catching up to her or whatever, and she casts a spell to make all of these like armor suits like come to life and fight them. And I don't even know where they all got these swords, but they all start sword fighting and singing probably one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my whole life, because the lyrics like are unreal. They're just like, I'll hit them from the front and you hit them from behind and they're coming around the corner. Oh my god, like just like not rhyming, not in any like good rhythm, just like saying things that are happening. And the choreography's not very good either. And then Mal casts a spell to make them all bust a move or whatever. And then
That also didn't rhyme. Because usually the spells rhyme, but that rhyme was like, you're getting on my nerves, so bust a move.
I thought it rhymed, but I can't remember what it was.
I think it had like some assonance, but like I remember thinking it back in my head and I was like, wait, that doesn't rhyme. You didn't have to say bust a move.
And then they all just like pass out from dancing too hard. I don't know. And they're like, oh my god, guys, we did it together. I'm like, what did you just do?
And there's Mal and China and McClane go to high five each other, and they both stop with their hands like 3 inches apart, and they're like, wait, we're not friends. So anyway, then they decide to split up. Uma had suggested this earlier, and Mal was like, no, that's a terrible idea. But now Mal is like, let's split up. And Uma's like, I said that before. And they're like, yeah, whatever, it's both of our ideas. So they split up, and Uma and Mal, they split up in a weird way, where, like, the girls basically are all going to go to look in Audrey's room. Is that what they're doing? Or they're going to like they go to Audrey's room and they see in her journal that she goes to the fairy inn or something. So they're going. I don't remember. The sequencing of this is weird because they read that she likes to hang out at some place, but then they go to like Sophia Carson's house beforehand. And I don't know why. Do you know why they did that?
I can't remember why either. Did they get
something? I don't think there was a good reason.
They were just like, okay, we'll go to Evie's house and then we'll go there. There must have been a reason.
They don't even, what like, need anything. They don't there? Get anything.
Is yeah, that when she just... wakes up, what's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing, like, this weird side quest with that for no reason. But the girls all go to one place, and the boys are looking for Ben. And we get some bonding between Jay, the son of Jafar, and the son of the crocodile from Peter Pan.
And they're cute together.
Yeah, this was actually my favorite. Like, at one point, Sophia Carson was like, let's do an icebreaker. Everybody say something they like about someone else. And then Jay and this boy do the icebreaker.
Yeah, they're just walking, and the son of the crocodile is like, hey, let's do the icebreaker. I really like how you can jump all around. And then Jay's like, okay, I like
and then
how
Jay is like,
you're
I
so
like
excited
how you appreciate
to see
fruit.
Berries. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very
I actually
sweet.
Did appreciate, because Hook and the crocodile boy are, they're acting like the villains did in the first movie, and they're, like, overwhelmed by everything. They're, like, shocked to encounter fresh fruit. Again, so horrible. These kids grew up in the worst prison in the world. And it's just nice to see how much these characters have grown and, like, you know, like, assimilated sort of into non-prison life. There's, like, a fun sort of moment where you get to, like, see them recognizing how much they, too, have changed. Not that that really, like, translates into any story movement, but it was just, like, a sweet moment, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they see Ben.
Yes. And he's the Beast, and he has a big splinter. And so, Beauty and the Beast style, Carlos takes his big splinter out. And then it's like, oh, are they going to have to deal with this beast the whole time? But then Jane shows up and she's like, oh, I've got magic water from the Enchanted Lake. And she just sprays it on Ben, and that, like, unbeastifies him enough that he's like, wow, that was crazy.
Yeah, and now he only has a beard and little fangs.
And Jane and Carlos, no tension around the birthday party. They're both just, like, so glad to see each other and
yeah, she's
happy
like,
that the other's not hurt.
He didn't show up, and he's like, oh my god, I totally forgot to text you. I'm so happy you're here. And he gives her, I mean, this happens, I can't remember when in the movie, but he gives her a little necklace that says Jarlos.
This happens at Sophia Carson's house. They go.
Oh, so they then, all so go then, to Evie's house.
Yeah, they all go to Evie's house again. I don't know why.
Oh, because she said, I remember now, when Mal decided to go with Uma's plan, she said, all right, let's split up and then we'll all meet back at Evie's house. So it was to meet back up.
Totally random meeting place. They could just meet where they were, but that's fine. I also don't think not everyone has been to Evie's house. Whatever.
Well, they had
everyone
Mal
has an ambassador.
And the other
yeah.
group had yeah.
But a good rendezvous point is a place that if someone gets lost, they can also go to. Anyway, Drizzy and the two Shmee boys are asleep on the couch, and so is Sophia Carson's boyfriend, Doug. And they're like, Uma is like, oh, you could fix your boyfriend with True Love's Kiss. And then she sings, I think, the worst song.
This song is also bad. And probably the biggest culprit in terms of jarring transitions.
Yes, it's just not correct. It's like an upbeat, like, it just, everything about it is wrong. The lyrics are wrong.
China Ann McClain is like, True Love's Kiss, and she's like, oh, could you guys give us a minute? And they're like, sure, they leave. And then she's like, oh my god, I'm like, it was just so, like, chill and tense, and now she's like plopping on chairs and doing little kicks,
and she goes outside and she's like, and the song is like,
and Uma and Mal are in the doorway, they're not hiding at all, they're standing right in the doorway watching her singing along, and she doesn't notice them. I don't know, it's so bizarre.
It's not like a song about how she feels about him, it's a song about like wow, what if I kiss him and it's not true love's kiss? But it's not like clear. So then it's like, oh, is the situation that she knows she loves him, but she's afraid he doesn't love her back? But it's not clear. Like, it's also like, maybe yeah. I don't love him. You don't even know what she's stressed about.
And the thing is, once again, the lyrics are so non-lyrical. She's just talking. She's like, well, I think that he likes me, but, you know, maybe I'm too bad for him. You know, I'm pretty sure it's love, but what do I know? Like, I don't know. I think it's that she is questioning if he loves her. And but she says, we haven't said the L word yet. So she, I don't know. She just doesn't know if it's true love on either end.
She kisses him. He wakes up. And then they never speak again.
Cool, I don't freaking care about this guy at all.
I could care about him if he said any words to her after that moment, but that's the last time they speak.
And I don't think he said any words in the second movie either. I forgot he even existed, and then he's just, like, standing behind her. I was like, oh, are they dating? And then we have this whole song about true love. I'm like, who are you again? But
so then they're going to, they go to the place where Dove Cameron also compliments China Ann McClain. She's like, wow, that was a good idea to read her notebook and find out where she likes to hang out. And it's like, wow, that's embarrassing for you, Dove Cameron, that that wouldn't have occurred to you. But it's nice of you to congratulate China on being helpful. And so everyone's starting to like come together and like each other. They go to the place. Audrey's
As they're walking and like,
oh, they do their magic together.
Ben is like, what like got you guys to get along or whatever? And Evie's like, oh, well, Mal promised to let all the kids from the Isle of Lost come. And then she's like, about that, I totally this lied. So in fact, I'm gonna close the barrier forever and no one can ever go back again. And they're all like, what the hell?
This is just like the randomest, most contrived conflict I've ever, in a movie that had multiple things that could be the source of conflict. It just feels completely insane. Like, there's no prompting for the, like, why would you come clean in this moment? Like, just finish the task.
It doesn't make any sense.
They like, because what's happened is they go to the place where Audrey is and they like, Chad runs away, but they're like, you can tell, they're like walking to the final boss battle. It's like outside the final boss battle. She's just like, hey, I just gotta come clean and let you guys know I completely lied to you and I'm not gonna do the thing I promised to do if we succeed. Like, just succeed first. Are you stupid?
Like, what inspired you to go all this way with no issue lying to them? And then it's like, why are you even standing by it? If you're going to make a confession now, say, I'm really sorry. This is really weighing on me. I lied to you before. But now I see that, like, good and bad doesn't have anything to do with the barrier. And, like, I changed my mind. But no, for some reason, even though they're fighting a quote-unquote good person, she's not second-guessing herself at all. She's just like, sorry, guys.
The only reason she even wanted to close the border was because she thought Uma was doing stuff, and now she and Uma are friends. It's like, why do you even, like, why do you stand by that? It's not clear at all.
It doesn't make sense for her to not come to her realization sooner. And Evie's like, this, not only is this happening, but now you're telling me it was your idea the whole time? Before you said it, like, they were suggesting it. You suggested it? And she's, like, crying. Rightfully so, because her best friend is, like, horrible. And she's like, I did it to protect us. She's like, well, what about all the kids that are our friends that are in prison? I can't even with you. Everyone abandons her. Uma's like,
and Uma
literally
drops
see
the
you
ember
never.
In the, no, well, in
Dr.
the puddle.
Facilier's daughter does.
Oh my
She's
gosh.
She's like, I thought that you had courage, but you're a coward and I don't like you. And she drops it in the puddle.
And then she sings a song that is happening in a moment where she's sad, you're pretty sure, because everyone she loves, also then everyone turns to stone. So Ben doesn't abandon her, but he just turns to stone. So everyone she loves is either stone or mad at her, and she should be feeling like conflicted about her big decision, which was to close the border. But then she sings this like weirdly triumphant song.
Yeah, this song doesn't even make any sense. And then I got distracted by what she was even saying, because these movies love to just have a montage of other scenes from the movie within them.
Including a scene that just happened in that movie. Like, there's the moment where her friends turn to stone. I was like, that was 20 seconds ago. I remember.
So I wasn't even listening to the lyrics anymore, because I was like, wow, look at this montage of just like random clips. Like, I don't know what's happening. And it's not like she made any decision at the end, even though the melody and the orchestrations would make you think that something had changed from when the song began to now. Nothing has. I don't know. Then she just goes into the battle by herself and she's losing. And then Uma's like, she can't do this without me. Oh, because before, Mal had tried to cast a spell and it didn't work. And then
right,
Uma's,
which also the
like,
premise of the Ember was,
and they did it together, and they were like, "Oh, we're better together."
And what happened earlier was that when the Ember went out, she tried to, she was like, "Oh, something. This isn't right.
Reignite.
Now my thing should reignite," and it doesn't work. And so it's like, "Oh, the Uma's like, my necklace isn't glowing. I'm not here to help you. Fuck you." Except she doesn't say the last part. And then, like, the fact that there is a spell that could reignite the Ember is just, like, it undermines the whole thing about don't let it get wet. It's like, don't get it wet, because otherwise you have to reignite it, and it's such a headache.
It's all so dumb, the letting it get wet thing. But so Uma joins in. She's like, no,
they reignite the Ember.
I'm here for you, girl. Like, reignite, whatever. And it does. And then Mal, like, basically kills Audrey. And then she's like, oh my god. Guys, like, they're all, like, at her bedside freaking out. I'm like, you know she was gonna kill you guys. Like, why are we you would never act like this. If it was Maleficent, you still have Maleficent in, like, your pocket or whatever.
Yeah, so they go and they get Cheyenne Jackson to bring her back to life. And he even says, like, wow, when it's one of your own, suddenly you want to, like, not just throw him in prison. And no one thinks about that
at all. They're all like, yep, okay, now do it and then go back to prison. And he's like, freaking fine. So he just, like, brings her back to life. And then they're like, thanks, bye. And then Mal goes out and follows him and is like, guess I'll have to miss you all over again. I'm like, why? But whatever. I mean, I don't even care about Hades particularly. And then he's like, bye, kid.
It's so
and then,
weird.
They and then there's an engagement party.
Yeah, we go to this scene where the engagement is really just coupled with big political movements. So at the engagement party, they're going to, this is also crazy. First of all, no aftermath for everything that Audrey did. Like, no one is like, she should go to the prison island. No one is like, we should rethink how we understand good and bad. Like, it's just completely no one has internalized anything from this, which I think is weird. But then Mal gives a speech where she's like, I was gonna close the border forever, something no one knew, but I'm telling you that I thought about that, and now I'm gonna tell you that I can't do that, something that no one was asking me to do.
Well, she's like, I can't be your queen, because I was gonna do this, and everyone's like, what's happening? And then she's like, but you know, people aren't necessarily evil just because they live there. I'm like, no kidding. What are you talking about? All those kids are good. They're like you. And she's like, and you know, without Hades, my dad, and everyone's like, I'm like, no one even cares. And then she's like, Audrey would be gone. And it like cuts to Audrey crying. And I'm like, I don't care.
It's also, I can't tell if people know what that Audrey did, because there's one moment where a news reporter is like, everyone's saying it's Audrey. Obviously, that's a lie. We got to figure out who the actual bad person is. And there's no moment where people are like, wow, it was Audrey. So even in that moment, it's like, do they realize that Audrey...
And then she's like, so I can't just be your queen. I need to be their queen, too. Even though Uma already left with we skipped that one that I mentioned before. So after they save the day, Uma's like, I'm going to go back because, like, they need a leader. And Dr. Facilier's daughter's like, I'm going to go back, too, because if I have to pick one, which I wish I didn't have to, but if I do, I need to be with my dad. So they both leave. And I'm like, why do you need to be the queen of the Isle of the Lost when you know that someone better than you is already leading them? But whatever, she needs to be their queen too. And then Ben's like, all right, let's just tear down the barrier. And his dad is like, Ben, I don't know about that. And he's like, shut up, old man. You don't decide. So...
And then they just tear down the barrier and there's no consequences.
Yeah, they Which is crazy, right there and then. The fairy godmother the just point gives of the Mal barrier. A wand and she takes it down. I'm like, you didn't have to write any policy or anything. You just did it at your engagement party.
It's also just like, so, the premise, the concept that this movie hinges on is that there are bad people who have really powerful magic. And so there was a good idea, which was let's somehow neutralize their evil magic. And then the way that they executed that was we'll put them on prison island where they're not allowed to have fruit and their children will have to live there even though they've done nothing. And now, like, it's not just the kids who are free. Like, if they've taken down the barrier, that means powerful, evil characters are... if Maleficent was still alive, she's there. Like...
Yeah.
It just isn't... I don't know. It isn't... everyone's just, like, so happy about this, and it feels like it's not even the solution to the problem that the problem was always, what do we do about the innocent children of the villains? Yeah. But now it's like, actually, everyone can be anything. Which is, like, so true. Like, the fact that Audrey did what Audrey did is, like, dissolves that whole premise of, like, good people have good kids and bad people have bad kids. But it doesn't really address, like, it doesn't call into question the goodness of Sleeping Beauty or the badness of Hades. I mean, I guess Hades kind of calls into question his badness, but no one's really thinking about that.
Yeah. Oh, I guess there is, when Audrey wakes up, she apologizes to Mal, and Mal's like, well... Yeah, I guess I owe you an apology too. And then Ben's like, yeah, I owe you an apology too. And then Audrey's grandma's like, and I guess I owe you an apology, Mal. Of like, you all, like, I don't know.
Like, everyone just doesn't feel satisfied. But we just need to make sure the scale of the apologies is that Audrey's is the biggest.
But like, it is true that Audrey's grandma's kind of a bitch. Like, like, who's to say that the parents in Auradon are good either? But I mean,
right? Whatever. I mean, that's been the whole problem this whole time.
Down now.
Yeah. So they sang a big song all together,
and it's actually a good song. It's not that good. I already forgot how it went, and I just finished the movie about an hour ago. but it was the catchiest of all of them. I was singing along in the moment. It was something like, well, now I'm going to remember the worst part. That was like, imperfect.
The one that I remember the most is the opening one, because it was like, it's good to be bad.
Really, I've just had What's My Name stuck in my head the entire time we've been recording. What's my name? What's my name? Say it louder. But yeah, and that's the end of the movie. Hades comes and he's like, am I invited to the wedding? And she's like, Dad! And then, yeah.
And her mom is still a lizard. And that's the end.
Yeah. And they are making a fourth one.
No, without Cameron Boyce?
Without the four of them. So Dove... Sophia Carson and Boo Boo Stewart. I think they're all not going to be in it. But China Ann McClain will be in it.
Well.
And Brandy and the guy who played Prince Charming and Cinderella are playing Cinderella and Prince Charming. And it's about, like, the Queen of Hearts' daughter or something.
Wait, Brandy, who played Cinderella in...
Yes, in Cinderella. Oh, wait.
And Prince Charming from what?
The Prince Charming in her version of Cinderella, the two of them are reprising their roles, but Filipino in Descendants. Guy? Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking of the right guy. Wow, that's interesting. And they're the parents of Chad?
I think it's like different versions. I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll watch it, but I'll hate it, I'm sure. I don't think so.
So maybe they are Chad's parents.
Well, that's embarrassing for them.
It would be crazy if Chad is in this movie, but Dove Cameron isn't.
But, I mean, he has some trauma to process, because he was, like, locked in a closet.
Oh, yeah,
that was it. He was just locked in a closet, but it made him feel crazy.
He was like, what if we just, like, watch something on Netflix instead of killing people? And she was like, shut up, and she locked him in a closet. Yeah. I mean, I saw it when I was looking up the track list, and I definitely feel better about it, even though I was like, why? Like, this felt like a wrap-up to the series. I'm more okay with it.
I mean, I'm interested in the consequences of getting rid of the border, but I'm sure one who makes these movies has the capacity to think about that interestingly. Yeah, exactly.
They're just moving on in the same franchise because it makes them money. But, like, starting a new story. But if they were doing another one with everyone except Cameron Boyce, that would feel very poor taste and very sad for me because I love Cameron Boyce.
In that opening number, he's the more best okay dancer with the four of them, for sure.
And in the closing number as well. He was a great dancer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm glad that Dove Cameron is moving on with her life away from Descendants as well. I think she won a VMA.
Oh, good for her. I don't care about her that much, but... But I'm happy that she won't be in these movies too, because then I won't have a negative association with her sometimes.
All right. Well, thanks.
Well, good to talk to you. Terrible to watch this movie, but worth it. what do we say at the end of these? Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for listening. You can find this podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Feel free to subscribe on your little podcast platform if you want to.
Yeah. We'll do another one probably. We'll do this more regularly now.
Yeah. We have not discussed at all what movie we'll do next, so you'll find out when the episode goes live.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Situation's getting kind of heavy.